Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Every Monday throughout the baseball season at 3 o'clock, Len Casper, the terrific voice of the Cubs, will join us on the McNeil and Parkin Show. How's it going, Len?
Well, I'd rather be calling baseball tonight, but quick programming note, guys, the 70th anniversary of WGN's first Cubs broadcast back in 1948, we will have a special two-hour show. JD and I will host from 7 to 9 p.m., so you'll get some Cubs baseball in, even though it'll be featuring the last seven decades, and we're looking forward to that.
Wow, featuring Andy Pathko on the leadoff man.
Right. So many great memories, and obviously there have been a lot over the last three or four years, but going in the way back machine, I'm sure we can take Danny Mac down memory lane a little bit.
Yeah, so what does the two-hour show entail? Is it a live show that you're hosting?
Yeah, we'll be down at the ballpark. I think we're actually going to do it from the TV production truck because of the elements, but we'll just kind of be setting up some great clips from throughout the years, some Brickhouse, some Harry and Stoney, no-hitters, some great seventh-inning stretches. I think we'll be featuring Coach Ditka and his interesting stretch, stuff like that. It'll be a lot of fun.
I think today might be the anniversary of Bert Hooten's no-hitter for the Cubs.
1972, right?
Yeah, I believe 70, yep. 72 or 71.
I think 72, there were two of them, Hooten early and then Pappas late.
Okay.
And then prior to Zambrano, that had been the previous Cubs no-hitter.
We're talking to Len Casper here on The Score. You can check that out tonight at 7 o'clock on WGN. So I was saying I regretted not going Saturday. You've had some time to let that ridiculous game marinate. What do you think you're going to remember most about it?
It was the coldest game I've ever called, and it's not even close. It was not only the air temperature in the mid to low 30s, but the wind chill was in the low 20s, and there was a light mist blowing off the lake the entire game. In fact, I probably got to our booth around 11 o'clock maybe, and the game ended a little after 5, so for 6 hours basically it rained in the booth. So you add the wind, the cold, and the rain, that's about as tough a day at the office for a baseball player as it can get. And you know, we saw some plays that were made or not made that didn't look particularly baseball-y, as Joe Maddon mentioned. And I don't think you necessarily can analyze anything that happened that day. I think that ultimately, Danny, you look at it as a wild, crazy, impossible comeback on one of the most miserable days to play baseball you could ever imagine.
So what is baseball going to do about all of this, if anything, Len? What can it do?
Well, here's the thing. Number one, this is the coldest start to a season I can ever remember, so let's not overreact, because next year we may not have any sort of postponements. The Cubs have had four, I think, here in the first 2.5 weeks. Obviously the Twins and White Sox, their last 3 days got washed out. So number one, not overreact. Number two, even if you start the season in mid-April, what's today, the 16th?
Yep.
This would be opening day. So is today nicer than March 29th was in Chicago? So, that only solves a little bit of the problem if you move the start of the season back. You could go to 154. Did you see Tracy Ringlesby's column in the offseason? I think it was in Baseball America. It's a pretty crazy idea, but the idea is to go hyper-geographical. Get rid of the leagues, have the White Sox and the Cubs and the Brewers and the Twins all in the same division. You have four eight-team divisions. You expand by two. And then you cut down on your travel. And the idea is, by cutting down on travel costs, you make up for the lost revenue of four home games. So that's one thing you could do. Another idea that I particularly like is to force every team to schedule maybe three or four doubleheaders during the season. I know the straight doubleheader is kind of a lost art because you like to be able to charge twice. Maybe, though, you charge instead of, you know, a $50 seat for a doubleheader, you charge $75, maybe a game and a half worth of price for a straight doubleheader. I think the split doubleheader is tough, but, man, I go back with Mac and remember as a kid going to Tiger Stadium for the 5:30 twi-nighter on a Friday night. There was nothing better than seeing two baseball games for one price. So I think that's something we could maybe look to do. But the general idea is probably there's not a whole lot you can do about April baseball.
Yeah, that's how kind of where I sit. And I thought about it, and I was like, it's a problem. I agree. But it's a problem without a solution, and they're making a ton of money hand over fist. And nothing in sports gets smaller, Len. Like, I can't come up with an example. Right. Other than stadiums, but that's just because they're charging more and there's more skyboxes. But no leagues contract anymore. No teams shorten seasons anymore. No teams cut games from TV. Like, it just doesn't happen. So I think we just have to deal with it.
Yeah, and look, I love the fact that we are playing baseball as early as we are, even though it's not really convenient. But I like the fact that when April 1st hits, we're on the ground running. And, you know, you can't play all the games in warm weather cities. You kind of have to try to even it out so all the teams get as many June through August home dates as possible. And, you know, I don't think it's the 45-degree day that people mind. It's like the other day when it's 35. That's really tough. And you just don't want to get anybody hurt. I think that's the biggest question. You know, fan comfort matters a lot, but the number one thing is to not have one of your star players slip and blow out a knee or something in the outfield.
We're talking to Len Casper here on the McNeil and Parkin Show. I know you said we can't analyze anything from the game, but the Javi at-bat that tied it up at 10, his only hit of the day, the bases-clearing hit, it was patient, and he was within himself, and he was recognizing the moment and not trying to do too much, which is something that we don't see from Javi all the time. Joe has said that his offensive ceiling is Manny Ramirez. I think that's probably a little ridiculous and a little bit of Joe being Joe. But what do you think Javi Baez's offensive game looks like in 2 or 3 years?
I don't know. It would be my main answer. But, you know, the fact that in terms of the power game, I think he could put up the power numbers maybe that Manny did. But it's the patience that probably he would never develop to that extent. But because of the defense and the base running and all that stuff, you know, I'm not expecting, nor do I think the Cubs need him to be necessarily an all-star caliber offensive player. But, you know, I do think a 25 to 30 homer season, maybe cut down a little bit on the strikeouts and just try to be situationally a little bit more aware. He can be a perennial all-star because of the whole package. Defensively, I think he wins games. And I think just his heads-up nature on the bases, he does things almost on a daily basis that help you win ball games. But offensively, I think there is more in there. I'm not willing to say that he necessarily looks to be like has the potential to be the best offensive player on this team. I wouldn't go that far, but I do think there's potential for him to get a heck of a lot better. And we've seen the strikeout rate, you know, go down. It was off the charts, maybe a 40% rate when he got to the big leagues. And we've seen improvement. It's just been hit and miss. It hasn't been necessarily consistent.
Well, after seeing him do it on Saturday, I'm desirous of seeing more of it. I'm wanting to see more of it.
Yeah, I think we all are. It's just, I don't know, guys, if you can expect it to be consistent based on his track record to this point. But guys do mature. Guys do change. I just, you know, I want to see more of it, I guess, consistently before I'm more willing to commit to that.
We know it's early, sample size, all the caveats, but is there anything from the 14 games that the Cubs have played where you're like, yep, that's a legitimate problem and I think it's going to be here all year?
Well, the situational hitting in general has been the last few years, and I think that it's, as Joe says, in the Cubs' DNA, they are going to strike out, and there are going to be moments where it's frustrating to not maybe see them come up with a hit as opposed to swinging for a home run. But I also think there are going to be days where, you know, you score 10 runs on four home runs, that kind of thing. you know, starting pitching wise, and I think the off days and the rainouts and postponements have been a factor. I think those five guys would like to get in more of a groove. But the bullpen's been very encouraging here early. I think defensively this team should be a lot better than it's shown, and I think the weather is part of that too. But, you know, it's really, really tough, I think, after, 14 games to make any sort of determination on any of it. I still think this is the team to beat in the division. You know what I have determined, I guess, is some of the other teams we've seen maybe are better than I think we thought. And I think the National League looked a little more lopsided the last 2 years. I think that's changing a little bit. Phillies have now gotten on a roll. We've seen the Braves offensively look kind of intriguing and have a very good bullpen, even though they imploded on Saturday. I think the Pirates are legit. And I'm really curious to see what the Cardinals look like now with a different look in their outfield. So maybe the league has caught up to the Nationals and the Cubs and the Dodgers a little bit. And that part of it maybe surprised me a little bit.
You caught my attention with the Pirates love there. What more can you say about that?
I their offense is better than I thought they would be. And I think if you look at last year, everything that kind of could go wrong did in terms of injuries. Jung-Ho Kang is probably never going to play in the big leagues again, so they lost their third baseman. Due to legal issues, Starling Marte got suspended for half the year. They traded away McCutcheon. Polanco was on the DL, I think, three or four times. Cervelli was as well. Josh Bell's starting to come into his own. So now you've got a group there that's been together for a while. I guess Josh Harrison has a broken wrist or hand, so he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, and that hurts them. But, you know, they're an intriguing group if their starting pitching comes together. Without Gerrit Cole, I think they can hang around for a while.
We're talking to Len Casper here on The Score. They wanted to make a lot out of Cubs and Brewers as a rivalry. I maybe parsed the wording there and said, no, those were big games, and the Brewers, I think, are the second-best team in the division, and I love anything that makes regular season baseball more exciting, but the Cubs and Cardinals are the true rival. When you were broadcasting the games, did it feel like a rivalry game in the true sense of the word?
Cubs-Brewers?
Yeah.
I think that's developed over the last couple of years. I agree with you, though. I still think Cubs-Cardinals carries a very special thing in Cubs fans' hearts, and I feel it when we go to St. Louis for sure, and when the Cardinals come to Wrigley. You know, the Cardinals haven't been in the playoffs for the last couple of years, but they haven't been bad. They just haven't been good enough to make that 10-team tournament. So, you know, for me, it's Cubs-Cardinals, Cubs-Brewers kind of 1A at this point, and I still enjoy the Crosstown Series. I think Cubs-White Sox is a lot of fun and might even get more interesting as the White Sox start bringing up some of their prospects. And by the way, I don't know if you've kind of finished your conversation earlier, but Mac, I think you and Bernsey are absolutely insane. A free ticket? This mm-hmm. isn't a White Sox question.
I know.
Every major pro sports team, if you promoted a free ticket and free parking, every team in the four major sports would sell out, and it wouldn't even be close.
Thank you.
But Len, they'd have to go to where the White Sox play.
I'm telling you, you're underestimating the four-letter word that starts with an F. F-R-E-E. There's a psychological thing there that trumps every other conversation we could have about any of it. The A's are drawing like 6,000 fans a game, and they had, 300,000 people who applied for tickets?
Yeah, we'll see how many of them actually show.
I think it'll be packed, don't you?
Well, we'll find out. I think there are people who are going to have won the tickets,
Mac,
through the
I'm
A's who aren't going to use them.
I'm going to accuse you of something that I would accuse myself of. I am not pointing fingers at you uh-huh. or anyone at the station. Uh-huh. I would point it at myself. We are not the people to ask. We get offered free tickets all the time.
Yep.
I get to sit in the best seat in the house, and I get paid to call games. How many tickets do you turn down on a weekly basis? Most people would die for the opportunity to go to a game for free. If you pay $5, as you said in the last hour, there's $20 parking. So for a family of four, that's $40 right off the top. If you tell people it's absolutely free, All the people who don't come would show up. The only people who wouldn't come are the people who normally pay to show up. I'm telling you.
Hey, all right. I never underestimate White Sox fans to be White Sox fans. But I know we're not talking about White Sox fans. We're talking about a city that you think would love a free ticket. And we'll agree to disagree on that.
I think a world that loves a free ticket.
Yeah.
My dad always said cheap is good, free is better.
Yes.
Like when my mom would be talking to me, oh, it's on sale. It's like, yeah. Free.
Yes.
Free is the sale we're looking for.
That we don't want, but because it's half off, we feel obligated to buy it.
Right. And so then make that sale instead of half off, make it free. And by the
way,
free. Yes. No, you've made that point crystal clear. Nice choice, by the way. It's bold putting your hat hair, 6 hours of hat hair on social media to be mocked.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to trend, but maybe it should. We should all post our best or worst hat hair moments. And I got home Saturday and I took my hat off. My wife said, you might want to look in the mirror. And I had no idea. And I thought, you know what? After that game I just watched, I think I have to post this.
Speaking of free, I had a chance to go for free in a box and I still didn't go. And I hate myself. Like, what have I become?
You know why you didn't go?
I didn't go on Saturday.
You know why?
Why?
Because you're a spoiled media brat.
Yes, agreed.
That's why.
Agreed.
As we all are.
And I hate myself for it.
You should.
I do. Don't worry. There's enough self-loathing here that no one else needs to hate me on top of it. Len, thank you very much. I know it's not a day off because you got that special tonight, but thank you for the time.
We look forward to that, Mac. Welcome back.
Thanks,
Len.
Talk
to you guys next week.
Talk soon.
That segment with Len Casper is brought to you by La Quinta Inns and Suites. How do you win on the road? Stay at La Quinta Inns and Suites. Enjoy stylish lobbies and exciting room renovations. Book now at LQ.com. He's always listening, Len Casper.
He listens, but I'm standing by what I said.
You're standing by it?
The White Sox can open their doors to the city and say, come one, come all. It's free, and you wouldn't fill the place.
There's a headline in another pro sport league that I think might be a little uncomfortable for some people about the National Football League, which I know you and I both love. So I want to get into that story coming up. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score. McNeil and Parkins on the score. Thanks to Len Casper for joining us. Charles Davis from the NFL Network and Fox will join us at 4 o'clock to talk NFL draft. And I wonder if there's still a seat in his broadcast booth waiting for Jay Cutler if and when he announces his retirement. It was supposed to be Kevin Burkhart, Charles Davis, and Jay Cutler. But then Jay went back to the Dolphins. We'll ask Charles Davis coming up at 4 o'clock. I know you are not the biggest NBA guy in the world. I'm a pretty big NBA fan, and I don't know how much of it you took in this weekend, but the ratings were up 17%. It was a huge NBA opening weekend for the ratings, and that mirrored what it was for the regular season. The regular season for the NBA just had a 4-year high for their ratings, and overall, men 25-54 up 16%, people 25-54 up 10%. And that comes on the heels of the TV ratings being a huge discussion all NFL season,
sure.
And the NFL dropped almost 10% for its ratings. I always argued against the fact that the NFL's numbers dropped because of Kaepernick and politics. I always thought that that was ridiculous. Most things in this day and age, their ratings are down because there's Hulu and Netflix and Apple
TV.
Well,
device viewing hurts ratings too.
Right. Cord cutting and watching it on different devices. Exactly. Like the ratings for basically everything are down unless it's something new, like that is growing, right? Like the Weather Channel ratings go up when there's a hurricane. CNN ratings go up in an election year. Game of Thrones ratings are going up as the show goes to its final season. But the vast majority of just things that are out there, that have been out there for a long time, they're going down because the audience continues to get splintered with watching on different things that we can't measure through ratings. But I'm curious what the people in the NFL offices do with the fact that the NBA is a league where clearly the players have not stuck to sports or shut up and dribble. And in this age where the ratings for basically everything are down and the NBA's ratings are up and through the roof and at a 4-year high and up double-digit percent when the NFL's ratings went down double-digit percent. I wonder how the NFL league offices and the NFL critic views it, because they would say our players didn't stick to sports and it hurt our ratings. And the NBA would say, what do you do with this data? And so I ask you, Dan McNeil, what do you do with this?
I need to know a little bit more about it, though. You say it was up from the previous year 10%. Is that what you said?
Persons 25-54 10%. Up 10%. Men 25-54 up.
From a year ago at this time. First week of the playoffs.
That was for the actual whole regular season. Okay. Up 16%, men 25-54. Highest the NBA ratings had been in 4 years. They had an NBA champion that was not invited to the White House. They have LeBron being blasted by all sorts of right-wing, all those sort of things. Like, the notion that I found it ridiculous during football, and I talked about it then, and I'll talk about it now. It was crazy to me that people thought that that was really what was getting people in huge numbers. Like, sure, some people, of course, but huge numbers to turn off their TV. The NFL's ratings went down because of cord-cutting, oversaturation, and bad games. The product was not good, and on national TV especially, the product was not good.
The first 5 or 6 weeks last year were tough.
Yeah. The name quarterbacks were not there. You know, Peyton Manning's out of the league, and Rodgers gets hurt, and there's a hundred different factors that factored into it. And I loved the NBA this season, and I love it every season, and I loved the opening weekend of the playoffs, and then the numbers back that up, and it just – it pokes such a hole to me in the idea that the quote-unquote politics of it is what we're driving the ratings in any direction one way or the other, positively or negatively. Like, I'm not saying that the ratings in the NBA are up because guys weren't sticking to sports. Like, to me, that's just – that's not a
– Why do you think they're up?
Because the product is awesome. The product is awesome. Period, end stop, full stop, point blank. It's great. It's – they promote their stars. You feel like you know their stars. You've got big cities that, like, some are doing well, some are doing poorly. It doesn't matter. It's a star-driven league. And every single night, you can watch a star play sports at the highest level. I really think it's that simple. Like, the quality of play in the NBA is about as high as it's ever been, and I don't think you could say that for the NFL. Thank you, Kevin Zipak. Texters are saying, well, the NFL is still bigger than the NBA. Of course. Of course.
Yeah, you didn't say otherwise.
Yeah, it's just, it's all about optics and, like, the narrative around it. Like, the narrative around the NFL is, ooh, it's struggling because ratings dipped. Well, it dipped from the top of Mount Everest.
It had been going up each of the last 12 years until 2015, I think, was the first year. There was some pullback.
And there's a ton of reasons for it. Thursday night football, like I said, oversaturation, cord cutting, I think being the biggest one. Like, I think that is the simplest explanation for all of this, is that there are fewer people watching television in ways at which Nielsen can measure the ratings, period. Like, I can't say it any cleaner and simpler than that. So for the Simpsons, The Simpsons has been on for forever. The ratings are down. Anything that's been on for forever, the ratings are down.
Mm-hmm.
But some things that put out an abnormally good product, the ratings are up.
Which cell company does the NBA do business with? If you want to watch on your device.
I think Verizon is the official.
Verizon, NFL has exclusivity through Verizon.
Oh, is it? Okay, then maybe I'm messing
well,
that
one. Maybe basketball is on Verizon as well. I don't know.
Does T-Mobile? I think T-Mobile does the commercial. I'm not sure which one they have. But no, I mean, they all have their own streaming platforms. That's absolutely true. But those aren't measured in the traditional, ratings. Like, when people read these articles and they say ratings are down, they're doing it on how you and I get measured for ratings, right? Nielsen numbers. That's it. They're not talking about the YouTube channel or the streaming or anything like that. And I always found it to be frustrating because people say, I get it. People don't know the media business and the ratings business like we do who are in it or whatever. But I always found it frustrating that people would be opportunistic with it and, like, be spelling doomsday for the NFL and use it to like advance their political agenda. Be like, see, the NFL is dying because
ratings are down again this year.
Because Colin Kaepernick's kneeling, I'm like, are you high? Like, their ratings are down for everything because we don't know how to measure YouTube yet, and Facebook, and Netflix, and Hulu, and Apple TV. Like, what? It was so disingenuous, that entire conversation about NFL ratings, that when a league that clearly handles that stuff very differently than the NFL does has their ratings up through the roof, I would just love the people who are screaming about the NFL's ratings being down because of the quote-unquote politics of
it.
Right. I would love your answer as to how this is also possible. Because the answer is you can't explain it, because that would mean it shows to me that it's something else. And I think it's quite simply that the product is awesome. Did you watch any of it this weekend?
It started this weekend?
Yes, the NBA playoffs, my friend. Hey, you were watching the Stanley Cup. That's okay. But by the way, while you were gone, we developed a hockey expert on this show. Chris Tannehill.
I know.
Is our new Stanley Cup playoff expert.
Yeah, he's officially barred from the show pot.
What did you think? Yeah, that was tough. Tanny, I forgot to ask you, what did you think of the Caps losing those games in overtime?
Oh, the Caps in overtime. It's been a problem for the Caps for years. Those overtime losses, always killer for the Caps.
That's true. We should figure out something where Tanny talks Stanley Cup playoffs and Mac talks NBA playoffs. And you guys just discuss the games that you don't watch in platitudes with each other and have it go back and forth.
What was he? He was analyzing the Wild the other day, the Wild and the Jets. Oh, that's going to be a goal fest.
It almost was. How they didn't score that empty net goal, I'll never know.
You'll never know.
But perhaps that's why they lost. They had an empty net. Maybe a different strategy next time.
They should explore that. That's why they got to call you.
That's awesome.
T-Mac, what did you think of Thunder Jazz?
I didn't watch Thunder Jazz.
I thought you would maybe give me some platitudes.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I thought we were going to set you up to be the NBA expert. Oh, those Jazz, they were musical.
Yeah, John Stockton still giving it up.
There you go. Yeah, no, see, it was good. Sheppy, did you watch any of the NBA playoffs for me?
I did.
You got anything for me?
I'm going to go buy a Victor Oladipo jersey because maybe the show pot didn't benefit, but the Shep pot benefited over the weekend thanks to his 32-point performance yesterday.
The old Shep pot.
The old Shep pot. It's very selfish to not include us in a winner that you had over there, Shep.
Well, I was going to send Mac a text message to get his thoughts on the Pacers and their matchup with the Cavaliers, but I figured, I'll just keep this one to myself, not disturb the man the day before he returns to work.
If there's money involved, I'm interested. If there's money to be made,
yeah,
I'm always up for the conversation.
Okay. Well, I'll figure out some losers, and we can fire them in your way, and we can get you in there watching the NBA playoffs. I'm telling you. Also,
my guy Rene Rancourt tied his record with the 4 fist pumps over the weekend. I saw.
It's your guy now?
Oh, always been. Yeah, it's
always long time guy.
What the heck? He used to reserve that for a Stanley Cup final. He's doing that in the first round.
Desperate times,
crying
desperate
times
measures.
In Boston, huh?
Yeah, that's right. We got see. This show has everything. Man.
Balance.
Balance.
That's balance.
Yeah, equal time. We are fair and balanced with the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs. And by the way, Shep, I'll just talk NBA with you for a second. The Western Conference Finals are going to come down to a James Harden step back three.
And it's going to be a travel that's not called.
Yep, and it's a good shot. Like he is, what he's turned himself into as an offensive basketball player is, and I loved him when he was with Oklahoma City. I thought he was a top 20 player when he was the third best player on that team. Like, you could see it on a per-minute basis, but he was never asked to be the dude. Like, the things that he can do, he gets a good shot every time. Jimmy Butler is picking him up at half court, guarding him. You know, Jimmy Butler's top 10 on-ball defender in the NBA. The whole team is just waiting, funneling him to the defense, funnel him to Towns, funnel him to Wiggins, funnel him to whomever, funnel him to Taj Gibson. Like, these guys have athletes and defensive players on the floor. It's a Tibbs team. And James Harden just gets to the rim whenever he wants. Wide open threes whenever he wants. Fouled whenever he wants. It is remarkable to watch that guy play the offensive side of the court in basketball. I'm telling you, Mac. Get in there. Watch the next fourth quarter of the Rockets game. Like that
sounds very exciting the way you describe
it. Every play, he gets a good shot. I'll do the show for Shep.
Do you worry about the Rockets, though, because Chris Paul, his shortcomings playoff-wise, James Harden, the way he disappeared last year? Like, are you sold? Do you have them solid into the Western Conference Finals?
Yes. I mean, Paul threw a ball into the third row yesterday at
the
end.
And that's why I was wondering if...
But it's Harden. It's just Harden. He's on another level. I don't want to be like prisoner of the moment guy, but like if you look at their offensive numbers this year, it's among the greatest of all time. It's better than the Warriors, not just this season, but like the last few years. Like what the Rockets have done with James Harden offensively is greatest in NBA history type stuff. And they missed every three yesterday, and they still won. And they're the best three-point shooting team in the league. So I'm thinking that they're not going to miss every three the next time they play. Like, I think that they are going to roll to the Western Conference Finals. And then it's just a question of them and Golden State, and that's for the finals. Like, the championship is the Western Conference Finals this year, because I think whichever one of those teams wins would steamroll whoever comes out of the East. But that's all I got for you for right now on the NBA playoffs. I know you haven't had much Sox baseball to get excited about, but Tanny found some audio from over the weekend that I think will present some legitimate optimism
for
what's to come for your beloved Chicago White Sox. It's coming up before Charles Davis at 4 on the Score. That's Jim Callis on the White Sox from MLB Pipeline on Hit and Run. Need legal advice by a reputable attorney? Send questions you want answered to cbschicago.com/legal advice. Look online for free Legal Fridays with Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates. That's cbschicago.com/legal advice.
Couple of things here. First of all, with Moncada, the strikeouts are bothersome, but not nearly as much as the suicide or safety squeeze sign he missed this past Thursday. His manager let him know about that, too. That was as bothersome as anything when they can't get a run in. The stuff with Kopech, all good stuff. All good stuff. If he's big league ready, that's great. There's no rush to get him here. They're not contending for anything. It makes all the sense in the world for them to ride out his service time.
The Sox just have to feel so good about, like, the toughest commodity in the sport to find is starting pitching. And if they hit on an unusually high percentage of these prospects, but they traded for them when they were mostly AA and AAA ready prospects, Giolito, Lopez, Kopech, Dunning, Hanson, like, they really could have a quote-unquote homegrown starting rotation in the big leagues. And that's basically unheard of in 2018. So,
yes, it is.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so hard to do. Like, developing one homegrown starting pitcher is really hard. Ask Theo Epstein and the Cubs. 3, 4, or 5 of them? That's what the Sox are poised to do for 2020 through their window, is actually have a majority homegrown starting rotation. So I thought the Kopech stuff there was really strong. And I'd be worried about Moncada. Like, okay, missing a squeeze sign, that's bad in the micro for a day. Like, got to get better at that. But unless you think he's going to be a 30 home run hitter, he's got to get those strikeouts down for him to be up at the top of the order like he is. And he doesn't hit the ball. Like, whenever I watch
him, that's a problem.
Whenever I watch him, I feel like I personally have seen, like, 2 Yoan Moncada, like, legitimate offensive highlights, and then almost the majority of the time, I personally am always seeing him strike out. So I'm like, I believe you. I see the highlights. I watch the games, but I feel like, oh, I saw 3 of Moncada's 4 at-bats. Those were the ground out and the 2 strikeouts, and I missed the triple where, like, he's showing his tremendous athleticism. So, like, I have some personal bias there, but the strikeout numbers are just horrible.
All you have to do is peek in every now and again, and you'll catch him striking out.
Yeah, it's there.
There's a good chance, but I mean, real good chance you'll find it.
Yeah, and he's. I agree with him about the get him 500, 600 at bats, because no reason not to. You're not winning anything this year, so at least get the guy some experience.
You have to live with the 150 plus strikeouts.
Exactly,
that goes with the territory.
Charles Davis, great football analyst. He's covers the draft for NFL Network. He's the analyst on Madden. He's in the number 2 booth for Fox. Was going to be with Jay Cutler, so we'll talk Bears and the draft with Charles Davis next on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.